Well, today is Father's Day, and the message is entitled Wisdom for Dads, and we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn open to that. Jennifer Han writes in her book, Thanks, Dad, and she writes this about fathers. She says, a father is defined as a man who has begotten a child. And I'm just going to add, just stop her quotation there for a second, and I would include that the definition of a father is not just one who has begotten a child, but one that is also chosen to be the father of a child, because there's many parents out there who also choose to adopt their family. So she goes on to say, a father is one who has a child, but a dad is so much more. He is a playmate, he's an encourager, he's a teacher, a counselor, and a friend. And in her book, she goes on to share stories and letters and scriptures of the thoughts of a maturing child from their point of view as they come to a point and speak of the gratitude that we sometimes overlook when we consider our fathers. And it's a touching book filled with optimism, great stories, great moments, and she brings together a collage of good father moments. And I would encourage you today, think about those good father moments and share them with others. But as dads, often our human nature often kicks in, and don't we tend to remember more of our failures or our shortcomings? I don't know, someone say to you today, your child say to you, you're a great dad, or dad, I love you, and you think, boy, I could have did this better, or boy, I should have handled that better. And oftentimes we end up, instead of taking these compliments and receiving them, we think about thinking about our successes, we focus or we think about those times where we didn't quite measure up, at least in our own heart's eye. It's far easier to recall the times that we should have or we shouldn't have as a parent, rather than accept the things that we've done right. So on this Father's Day, I thought that I would draw some wisdom from the Scriptures. Because as dads, we always need one of those inspirational times where the Scriptures speak to us to help us turn some of those negative thoughts, turn our eyes back to what God is calling us to do. So this morning, as we look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, the Lord gives us wisdom in these words. And it's wisdom not just for us, but wisdom that we can share into our families. So that's what we're going to do today. And look into the Scriptures for those points of wisdom, points of encouragement for us as dads today. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. And Lord, you say that your word is sufficient. So Father, as we look at it this morning, we trust that your word is sufficient. It is true in all occasions. Father, it is right for us to follow. And Lord, today we give you thanks that we were able to look at it and to glean from it. And Lord, may your spirit speak to our spirit this morning as well, we pray. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, there are three key elements that we can draw. There's more, actually, but three key elements that we can draw out of this scripture that the Lord gives us. To allow us as dads to really be the dads that God calls us to be, to accept the calling that God has given us as fathers as we look at the Scripture. And the first one that the Lord gives us is he says, make a friend. He says, make a friend. Jesus says, make a friend. And he says it, we can imply that out of the statement when he says, come to me. Come to me, Jesus says. In the context, Jesus was teaching his disciples, and then he turned to the crowds that were following him, and he taught them, and he made this invitation to come. And that invitation to come was an invitation for relationship. And it stood in direct contrast to the command of the Pharisees, which is a command always to do. Remember, the Pharisees were teachers of the law. So they said, if you're going to be a believer in God, then you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. And they were teachers of the law, so they knew what to do. They knew how to do it, but they didn't have necessarily relationship. The Pharisees demanded obedience to the law, but Jesus does something different. Jesus gives an invitation, not a command. And that's what friendship starts with. That's what friendship starts with. It starts with an invitation. An invitation to come. An invitation to be a friend. An invitation to be involved. No relationship or friendship of any depth happens by demand. No relationship will ever happen by demand. That's what happens in the workplace. You are a subordinate to the leader that you have. You follow the instructions. You obey. You fulfill your duties. But that's not relationship. That's responsibilities and duties. But Jesus is inviting us. He is doing something different. He's starting by making an invitation. He says, come. Just simply come to me. In John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus says this to his followers. He says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. So Jesus' invitation here is an invitation to friendship. He is calling us to be his friend. He is still our God. He is still our Savior, but he's calling us into relationship. And the key component of any good friendship is trust. In fact, trust is what makes a friendship feel safe. It makes a friendship feel comfortable. It makes a friendship feel easier. And if you ever notice, you don't really go deep into a relationship or with someone if trust is absent. It's always going to stay just on the surface, or maybe even just below the surface. If there's no trust in a friendship, there really is no friendship. And unfortunately, the unfortunate reality for many men in our day and age is that they really don't have many friends. In fact, many men today struggle with loneliness and isolation, even if they're amid a crowd, even if they're in a church like this. There's a sense of loneliness, a sense of alienation. Now, we can sure remember back to the day when we had all those friends, now whether that be high school or post-secondary, or maybe it was a group that we were involved with. But oftentimes those friends are back in the day, and we recollect those friends. But who is the friend today that you would call at midnight, that you would have that comfortable ability to call at midnight when you have a need? Many men don't have friends because, unfortunately, they don't nurture the friendships. They don't nurture friendships. The old saying goes, to have a friend, you also must be a friend. And so there are many things that, as life goes on, that hinder men from fostering friendships, fostering relationships. And that's why this call from Christ is so important. That call that says, come. He says, come unto me, come towards me. You have in Christ we can find a friendship like no other. He in Christ is telling us in that invitation that relationship is important. Relationship is important in life. So when Jesus says, come unto me, it's an invitation to be his friend, and then by extension, you are to be a friend to others. See, that's how that works. Jesus models that for us so that we can in turn extend it into the world that we live in. That's what Jesus is doing. He's extending that friendship. He says, I will be your friend. You can trust me. And he's saying, now there, go out and be a friend that can be trusted to someone. Children and families need to see healthy friendships modeled by their dads. When children see dads enjoying a relationship with a friend, having a fellow that they can talk with and do things with and share with, those are good models for a family to see. So Jesus says, make a friend. Well, the second thing Jesus says is, he says, take a rest. Have a rest. In verse 28, we read, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word is repeated again in verse 29, where we find the words again in Scripture. And when we find Scripture's words repeated in Scripture, it's good to pay attention to them, because the writer is trying to get our attention. The writer is trying to focus our attention on something that is important. And so rest is repeated, so we should pay attention to that. And rest is a word that suggests the stopping of motion. Rest is a stopping of motion. It's a full halt. It's saying, whoa, wait a minute, stop life for just a minute. But the reality is, life is busy these days. For those of you who are able to enjoy the relaxation of retirement, of doing absolutely nothing all day long, how long does that last? I don't know, 10 minutes? Somebody calls you up and says, hey, you have nothing to do. Can you come do this for me? And whether that be family or friends or a group that says, hey, if you have a little bit of time, we could sure use you over here. Life is always going to be busy. It doesn't matter if we're in the midst of the younger years of raising a family, or the middle years of seeing them go out, or the later years of grandchildren coming back. It doesn't matter what stage of life we're at. Life is busy. It's always going to have an element of busyness to it. And balancing between work and parenting and social engagements and business dealings and Candy Crush, when you try to balance all of those things, life is hectic, isn't it? Life can get quite hectic. There are important things to do. So slowing down really isn't an option. And in fact, we often find ourselves saying that we might slow down, but we really, all that is just taking the foot off the accelerator just a little bit. We don't really mean that we're going to stop and rest. Here's a test to tell if you've really stopped. I'll use this illustration. A police officer pulled over a car for gliding through a stop sign. And as the officer comes up to the car, he questions the individual and he says, you know, you rolled through that stop sign. And the fellow goes, but officer, he said, I slowed down. Oh, he says. Okay. It did say stop. He goes, I know, but I slowed down. So the officer reached over to his tool belt and he pulls out his 2-foot-long flashlight and he gives the man a gentle whack across the side of the head. He goes, what was that for? And the officer looks at him again and smacks him a second time. He goes, what are you hitting me for? He says, stop that. He says, do you want me to stop or do you want me to slow down? Here's a good test. Are you stopping or are you slowing down? So why do you think Jesus calls us to stop the busyness of life? Why do you think Jesus says that, puts an emphasis here on stopping the busyness of life? Because busyness is often void of rest. When we are busy, when we are going, we don't take the time to rest, and especially rest that is for our soul. Rest for our soul, rest is important. Soul rest is what Jesus is getting at when he says stop. He's not saying take a rest in Hawaii. He's saying take some soul rest. Let your soul come to a place of resting. Let me read verse 29 again. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Rest for the soul is like turning off the key of the engine and letting all the cylinders come to a complete stop. We just came through spring seeding. We're in the midst of spraying, all of those kinds of things. If you're a farmer this morning or you run equipment, you know that sound. You start up that equipment in the morning and it's running all day long. You hear that in the background. But then there's a time at night where you reach for that key and you turn that key and it goes click and all the clamoring comes to a stop. And when you turn that key and you hear that engine's last gasp, all of a sudden you hear what? Silence. You hear silence. If you run equipment, you know the noise that's always around you. That's like life. We always have noise around us. But when we turn that key off and we actually hear silence, you can actually hear silence. Because all that noise that you're used to is stopped. That's what Jesus is calling us to. It's a picture of rest for the soul. It's when we turn off all the busyness, all the busy thoughts in our minds, and we come to that place before God and we say, God, I'm shutting off the engine. I just need to be quiet with you. And then we allow ourselves to hear the last of the clatter of life so that we can begin to hear God. When striving and working and keeping up comes to a full and intentional stop, that's when we find soul rest. That is the kind of rest that Jesus is calling us to. In our world today, we are inundated with all kinds of distractions, all kinds of things to keep us perpetually busy. Even in our quiet times, Candy Crush comes out because we don't want to get bored. We want to do something. But is that really stopping? Is there a value in that? Or is God calling us to a place where he says, take some time, etch it out of your schedule just for me when all of it stops? Christ calls us to be intentional about becoming quiet before the Lord, because it's only when the noise stops that we will find the refreshing and invigorating rest for the soul that makes us feel alive again. If you want to feel alive again, spend some time quietly with God. Let him pour into your soul. Let him refresh you. That's where we're going to find it. And guess what? When we model that for our family, that ability to stop the world, stop the busyness, and just focus on God, when we model that for our family, that is a healthy thing for our family to see. It's healthy for us as dads, moms. It's healthy for our family to have modeled. So Jesus says, take a rest for the soul. Well, lastly, Jesus also says in our passage this morning, he says, pack light. He says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, when I was younger, just out of the house, finally, I'm 18. Actually, I was 17 and I was off to work. And I traveled pretty light. I could pretty much put everything I owned into one of those little duffel bags. We call it a carry-on now, maybe. That's about the size of it, but it was a duffel bag. And I could put everything that I needed to travel any length of time in that little bag. And I did it. I would travel. If I went out someplace, everything was in this little overnight bag or this little duffel bag. Well, now there are multiple suitcases anytime we go someplace. And granted, I'm a little more prepared when I get there. My clothes aren't as wrinkly. And in fact, I don't have to wear old clothes for numerous days in a row like I used to. But the principle is that as life goes, things tend to get heavier rather than lighter, don't they? So my little pack at 18 that I could go anywhere with all of a sudden weighs just under 50 pounds. It's amazing how you can pack just under 50 pounds wherever you go. Things as life goes on, life can get heavier. And that's how many people see faith in Christ, as a heavy burden. And a burden to work harder in the church, a burden to do it ourselves so that it's done right, a burden to try to please God with our activities for him, rather than just accepting his good pleasure in who we are. And we actually sang about that, being pleasing before the Lord and allowing the Lord just to see us as pleasing just simply because we believe, not because of what we are doing for him. And that's an interesting concept, that God loves us just the way we are today. God loves us. And it doesn't change if we do something for him, if we serve him in an area, he doesn't love us anymore. He loves us just the same. So our activity with God is often associated with pleasing God. So we sometimes want to please God and do more things for him. And guess what happens? life gets heavy. The burden of the Christian walk, all of a sudden, instead of being light, gets heavier. We feel that weight about our shoulders. In our verse, Jesus uses the word yoke to describe the burdens of life. And when we think of a yoke, the image that comes to mind is that of a heavy wooden bar that rests over the shoulders of an ox and is hitched to a cart or a farm implement of some sort. And its intention is there to have that oxen push against that yoke and pull whatever it is behind him. And in Jesus' day, the word yoke also meant obligation. And something like the obligation that comes with the would be similar to a mortgage payment. So you have regular obligations. That would be a yoke. So Jesus is saying to people that tend to load themselves up with obligations and burdens that hold them back, Jesus is calling to them to recognize the yoke that is around them, and he offers them something different. He said, instead of burdens that you have to pull and the weightiness of it, instead of all those responsibilities that tie you up and cause struggles during the week, Jesus calls us to something different. He uses the word yoke in a way that says it is something easy that is to be pulled. So when Jesus says yoke here, he is saying it is easy. It is an easy pull. If you take on my yoke, even in light of when we take on a yoke in life, Jesus says it can be lighter. You don't have to allow it to become heavy in your life. And if we combine Christ's call for rest into the equation, we discover something even more interesting. Rather than faith in Christ being a burden to pull or an upward battle, like the legalists or Pharisees would prefer, or even over-programming in a church can sometimes cause, Christ's yoke doesn't work that way. In fact, his yoke is a natural yoke. It's a light yoke, something that happens with ease as we serve him. There should be an ease and a joy that comes in serving him. There is no burden in faith because Jesus has already done all the hard lifting. I find it interesting how as believers, sometimes we make faith really hard for ourselves. We set these unattainable bars in our own life, and then we struggle against them all our lives. But Jesus says something different. It's not that he's lowered the bar, but he says, with me, the burden is light, the yoke is easy. He said it is, if you come with me, I will carry that weight. If you come with me, I'll be the one who carries, who organizes, who sorts all of that stuff out. See, there's no burden in faith because the hard lifting's already done. Sin and death is already defeated. Peace with God is already restored. And there is rest there for our receiving. So let's bring this home. It's Father's Day, and Matthew 11, 28 to 30 is relevant. Why? It's relevant because it addresses three key areas that men often struggle with. Men tend not to have friends, but we need them. Men tend to not take rest, let alone take time for soul rest, but we so earnestly desire it. Men often see faith as a burden. One more thing to do when it is really the answer to a healthy, more vibrant life. So what are we to do with this dilemma that we find ourselves against as men? What are we to do with those things that we struggle with? Well, I've asked Barry if I can share a little story from one of his vacations that kind of tells us what to do. I might get some of it wrong. I might even embellish a little bit of it, Barry, just to make you look better. But Barry was down in Jamaica. He's following along with his family reunion of some sort, trailing along as Barry would behind the pack, and a nice fellow steps out of the shadows and says, "Psst, what's your name?" Barry, being the old farmer that he is, he looks around, he goes, "You talking to me?" The guy goes, yeah. What's your name, man? He was Jamaican, of course. What's your name? Well, I'm Barry. I'm Barry. He says, Barry, he says, come over here. He said, and I think it was the ponytail that did it, but he goes, come over here, Barry. I think I have something you want. And so Barry goes over to see the fellow, and he's kind of looking and watching. His group is leaving. He doesn't want to get left behind. He's in Jamaica, and this guy's, they're all bigger than we are. So there's a big dark fellow there, and he goes, do I have something you're looking for, man? And Barry, seeing whatever he saw, and he never did tell what he saw, but he said, no, I think you got the wrong guy. That's all right. And he's kind of got a little bit of a skip in his step as he's trying to catch up to his group that's left him. No, that's all right. And all of a sudden the guy, as Barry is going away and looking back and making sure he's not being followed, calls out and he says, Barry, Barry. Barry stops and he turns around and he looks. Slow down, man. Slow down, he says to him. You know what? We need to slow down. Life is busy, but we don't have to let it overcome us. We don't have to go at the speed of sound all the way through life and miss the important parts. Make a friend. Find a friend. Be a friend. Find a place where you can have soul rest, where you actually take time for yourself. Take time to spend with God. And then pack light. Don't let the burdens of life weigh on your shoulders so much that you're not enjoying things anymore. The Lord has already told us that sin and death is defeated. We have no natural enemies, only what we bring on ourselves. Take time to shed some of those burdens. Think about what is important in life, and focus on them. So, gentlemen, slow down. Pay attention to what's important in life and what is really important to your family and to your friends and to, most of all, your relationship with God. And for us as dads today, it's a timely message for us to take that break and focus on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. Your word is so simple. If we just stop long enough to hear it. Father, may your word today resonate in the hearts of the hearers. And Lord, may by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, even one thing bring about a change in a life. Father, we thank you for the way that you give us opportunities to grow and to mature in our understanding of who you are. And thank you, Lord, for this call to be godly men and to follow your principles. We thank you. Amen.
We invite you to stand with us for the singing of our last song that talks about our Heavenly Father.
I have
Let's bow now for the benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you all.